Thank you, Robert. Good to see you this evening. Thank you for coming back. You have your Bibles, would you open to Romans chapter 12, please? If I'm a little cross-eyed tonight, I apologize. What you don't want to see is when you check your emails, when your computer says, Windows must be reloaded. Those that know about that know what a painful experience that is. And so I've been fooling around with that. And sometimes things get corrupt. And things get corrupted. And they need to be realigned, reinstalled, repaired. So it is in a believer's life. Some people think it's a done deal. They raise their hand, they sign a little card, think they can put their spiritual life on automatic pilot, and I'll see you in heaven. No, it's not quite that way. We start to live the day, and all of a sudden we get an announcement from God that something is not right, something is corrupted, something is discombobulated in our life. And we need to have it corrected. And so that's why we come to a place like this. Why come Sunday morning? Why come Sunday night? We want our lives to be in harmony with heaven. And so we use the template of God's Word to work in our lives. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And we are constantly in need of cleansing our heart, cleansing our thoughts, cleansing our life, even after we've been saved by the Lord. And it's quite obvious as we look at the church that they were just like we are, living in a corrupt world, seeking to stay right for God. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. We talked about that this morning. What does that mean? And we basically saw that there is a positive and a negative terminal on the battery of Christian power. One is depart from evil. That's negative. The other is do good. That's positive. And if we can get both of those hooked up, then we have this life that Paul is admonishing us to know and experience. To present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Wow, I thought that's all taken care of. Well, it's taken care of experientially, in that we have experienced salvation at the cross. But in a practical sense, every day we're making adjustments. Every day we're making adjustments. We fly through this world where cross currents throw us off course, and we need to readjust. And the template is not what everybody else is doing. The template is, what did God say? His holy word, His holy standard. And as we pointed out this morning, they're changing the rules. They're moving the boundaries. The third baseline is no longer where it used to be. Somebody decided they're moving it more. They want to rename things, redefine things. They want to change things. And if we're not careful, we will go the way and walk in the way of the world. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or in some translations it says spiritual worship. Satan would want us to separate or divorce worship and service. Just like the positive and the negative, depart from evil, do good, they go together. Satan would like us to separate worship from our what we do, from our service. Take a look at Matthew chapter 4 and be warned that Satan is not our friend. Verse 3 of chapter 4. And when the tempter came to him, whoa, if the tempter is going to come to the Lord Jesus, he's got our number. If the tempter is going to challenge the Lord Jesus, he's going to challenge me. And he's going to challenge you. I don't know if you've ever seen an angler fish. I'm not a fishing person. I don't have the patience. I tried and I think of a million things I have to do while I'm sitting there. Other people, they use it as time of meditation and a time of reflection and they just enjoy it. And I think that's great that some people can do that. And if you've ever seen a fly fisherman fish, they take the reel and the rod and they'll cast that fly out there. And it'll splash down, and then they'll reel it in. And the fish is over there somewhere, and he doesn't care one bit. And the fly fisherman throws it out over there again. It's got a little fly on there, a little bug, artificial bug. And the fish is not interested. The fisherman does it again. And again. Maybe about the 10th time or 11th time, the fish turns a little eye. Doesn't do anything yet, but all of a sudden he looks, he notices it. Does it again. Now the fish is kind of observing what's going on. It's not doing anything yet, just kind of looking. And then he throws it again. And finally the fish kind of moseys on over, check it out. That's the way Satan does it with us. He throws it, you're not interested. He's gonna throw it again. He throws it, you're not interested. He's gonna throw it again. Not on Wednesday. You're not interested on Thursday. You're not interested on Friday. You don't even notice it on Saturday. Sunday, forget about it. Next Monday, there he is again. All of a sudden, look, you're kind of noticing. You kind of notice it. He's trying to catch us. He's trying to get us interested in it. And, he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. And he tempted the Lord Jesus. He's going to tempt you. He's going to tempt me. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Wow. That was a great statement of faith. Our faith comes from the Word of God. We need it more than bread. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Whoa, he didn't give up. He's doing the same thing. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. Again. Didn't just try once. Try with the Lord Jesus 3 times. Wow. He doesn't give up on us. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus saith unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou shalt fall down and what? Worship me. Now look at the way the Lord Jesus answers and replies. And the Lord Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him also shalt thou serve. See, the Lord Jesus always put the worship and the service together. Satan always tries to separate them. Let your church life be your church life and let your real life be your real life, he says. Let's not get overboard on this. The Lord Jesus always brings them together. Worship and service. Satan is trying to separate them. going back to Romans, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, unto God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. They're translated alternately, meaning the same thing. They go together. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, if Satan can get us to be just like the world, he has, for all practical purposes, eliminated us from the equation. If he can get us to be just like the world, the whole idea of salvation is for us to come out from the world, to be saved from the world, to be spared from the judgment that shall fall upon the world. Love not the world, said John, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. In the light of eternity, our life is going to be a vapor, said Peter. And we spend so much time, digging our stakes so deep, not realizing that we're here for a purpose, and for a very brief time, as a prelude to eternal glory. And when we read the lives of great men and women who made a difference, somehow they seem to appreciate that and understand that. Like Jim Elliot, who went to South America to tell a bunch of Indians about the Lord Jesus and gave his life while he was still young in his 30s on some beach in the Amazon. What a waste, somebody says. Jim Elliot somehow knew what was valuable, what was temporal, what was eternal. And he discovered what he was made for, and he did it. And when his job was done, God took him home. Wow. You and I are on a mission to discover God's will and do it. Paul picked himself up from the Damascus Road after asking the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" Went on to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Once you know who he is, the next logical question is, what do you want me to do? Those two things. And so we see in the book of Romans, the Roman saints discovered who he is, the Lord Jesus, and what he wanted them to do. And in Romans chapter 12, we saw the gifted church equipped to do the spiritual service in glorifying God. Bartimaeus. I'm sorry, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. And he climbed the tree. And while he was there, he found out who Jesus is. Most churches do a pretty good job in telling people who Jesus was. As far as that goes, one church is really as good as another. Most of them can tell people who Jesus was, if you look at it. But the New Testament church told people who Jesus is. Big difference. And this church that had the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit was on a mission to show the world who Jesus is. Now, you're about to go to the arena and be fed to the lions. Not enough to know who Jesus was. You need to know who he is. In the very real now, of a powerful and a dynamic Christian life. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Conformed means to be poured into the jello mold. And it's so easy to be poured into that mold, be just like everybody else. And just a few days that we took off and did some people watching, where I was amazed at how young people are copying young people. Just whatever is the mold of the day, that's what they do. And it was very rare 15 years ago to see people piercing their lips and their eyebrows and their noses and their tongues. Very rare. But I was amazed to see so many people who have made the leap impaling themselves and thinking it's normal, because we all do that. That's being conformed to the world. And we do that not only in fashion, we do that in ambition, we do that in interest and entertainment. Pretty soon we're doing it just like they do it. And years ago we wouldn't have thought to be caught dead in such and such a place. But now we say, well, times have changed, and besides that, we're all under grace. We're saved by faith, not anything that I do. That's not what Paul thought about it. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Satan, if he can't catch you, he's going to try to conform you and me, so that we're just like those people we're trying to win, and they look at us and say, what's the deal? You're just like I am. As a matter of fact, we're a little bit better than you all. And the reason is that we have become perhaps conformed to the world. And the church itself has a tendency to want to become conformed to the world. And instead of ministry, we market. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this morning we talked about departing from evil. Well, you can't pack your bags and go to Kalamazoo, because evil's there too. You can't pack your bags and go to Alaska. Guess what? Evil's there too. You can't go and join the convent. Why? Because there's evil there too. That's the thing about religion. As they discover the truth of Psalm 34, that holiness is departing from evil and doing good, that's only half the battle, because we are not capable of accomplishing that. That's what the law does. It shows us what things might be, but we are unable to reach those heights. And that's where God solves the problem, by coming down to where we are and coming into where we are, and Jesus Christ dying for us and rising again, so we might know the power of the resurrection, so that we understand the power to leave evil and the power to do good comes from Him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when a person becomes a new believer, that's obvious. It's obvious. It's after a person has been a Christian for a while that sometimes we become conformed. Become conformed. And how do we avoid becoming conformed? Well, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, there's that word again, and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, some people say these are adjectives that describe the will of God. Some say that they are degrees or stages, that there's a good will and acceptable will and the perfect will. I'm not sure. I know that there's a permissive will of God and a directive will of God. I know God may allow you to jump off the cliff, but he doesn't tell you to jump off the cliff. So there's the permissive will of God and the directive will of God, and my mission in this world is to discover the directive will of God. Not to find how close I can get to the edge of the road in the permissive will of God. How close can I get to the world and still be a Christian? How close can I get and not cross the permissible? No, I want to find the directed will of God, God's plan A for my life. God's plan A. And that's the type A Christian we want to be. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, and he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. That's it. That's Psalm 34. Somehow it crept into the New Testament. Somehow it got there. Psalm 34. Abhor. King James Version in Psalm 34 says depart from. The King James Bible in Romans says abhor. Abhor that which is evil. Well, we rarely find people who abhor that which is evil. We accommodate it. We make room for it. Sometimes we entertain it. But we don't abhor it. I'm not talking about holier than thou. Take a look at verse 3. Every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I'm not talking about the holier than thou. I'm talking about abhorring what God abhors, hating what God hates. Why? Why hate sin? Because we know what sin does. Abhor that cancer. And I think every single person can understand that. Abhor it. Get rid of it. Depart from it. Cut it out. Do whatever you can. Take it away. I don't want it. Well, don't you want a little bit? I know when I had my cancer surgery, the doctors kept looking and looking and looking, trying to find any cells. They want to get every single cell. Well, we're just going to leave a few. No, he wasn't satisfied until he said, we find no more. Abhor that which is evil. Well, can't we just have a little sin in our lives as Christians? Can't we just have a little fun? A little fun? Who said sin is fun? Well, Satan said, that's for sure. Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sure, it's fun. People wouldn't sin if it wasn't fun for a little while. But with every sin, there's a cost, there's a price tag, and people don't know it. They don't realize it. Even we believers don't realize it, that every single sin has a price tag, and when we sin, the check is in the mail. The bill is in the mail. We're going to have to pay it. We're going to have to pay for it. Really? Yeah. One way or another. One way or another. And I'm afraid that somehow we have between verses 1 and verse 9 have changed the standard that God has for holiness. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Now that's not easy today. Why? Well, for one reason, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, we see that somebody switched the price tags. And Isaiah saw it in his day. He said, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. And that's exactly what we have going on today. Somebody says, this is good. Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think I remember that was not so good. Maybe my memory's slipping. Maybe I'm getting Alzheimer's. Maybe I'm getting dementia. Because I thought that used to be bad, but now they're saying it's good. At least if you listen to the would-be bishop of the Anglican Church, he says it's good. And the reporter said to him, why did God make a man and make a woman? That's a good question. And the bishop said, all I know is when I'm with my partner, he makes me feel so special. It's not about you and how special you feel. It's about what did God say. God said, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And if there's anybody that's going to be burned at the stake these days, it's not going to be those that live in abhorrent behavior. It's going to be me and you who say, that's wrong. When John the Baptist stood before Herod and said, it's not lawful. Whoa. John, you know, keep it down. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. John, you know, keep it down. You know, we're going to have a seminar next week on politeness and on tactfulness and friendship evangelism. We're going to take Herod out, and we're going to have cookies and milk, and we're going to take Herod out, and we're going to go to the Greyhound races, and you know, we'll win him first. Where in the world do we get that idea? The Bible says that God hates sin, that God hates evil. Why? Because it ruins everything. It ruins everything. And if we believe that, we would abhor evil also, as the surgeon abhors cancer. Abhor that which is evil. I don't know about you, but I'm glad on Tuesday and Wednesday and on Friday, those that live in the city, somebody comes and takes my garbage away. I don't know about you all, but I appreciate that. Don't you? There's nothing in that garbage that I want. They can have it. All of it. Let's just save a little of it. Some of the coffee rind grounds onion skins, and let's save a little bit of fish bones. And no, you can take it all away. I abhor it. Now, we want to save a little bit of it around here. And no, holiness, depart from that which is evil and cling to that which is good, or do that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're saved to serve. That's the only reason God saved me. He had some kind of plan. He had something for me to do. The disciples went into the city looking for a donkey and said, just tell the man that the Lord has need of him. God has need of a donkey. God has need of you, and God has need of me. I need to be ready when he comes. Peter and James and John were fishermen, and one day Jesus came by, and the disciples were washing their net. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, let me borrow your boat. Let's push it away from the shore. I want to use it as a pulpit. No, the boat was Peter's business. It was his livelihood. And the Lord Jesus stepped right into the middle of Peter's life. Right into the middle of it. The Lord goes, I'll see you in the synagogue on the Sabbath. No, let me step into your boat, your life and your livelihood. Your name and your reputation. Let me step into the middle of it. And Jesus Christ stepped into the middle of Peter's life, and everything was changed. Now, what if Peter wasn't ready when the Lord Jesus came by? And his boat wasn't ready. If you read the story, there were other boats and there were other fishermen. And Peter was ready to go. He didn't say, well, look, not today. You don't realize how busy I am today. I've got stuff to do. I've got to put away my tackle. I've got to... He said, yes, Lord. He was ready. You and I need to be ready. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Wow. Most when it comes to spiritual things, we kind of do it lackadaisically. We really don't do it fervently. We really don't. It's sort of like if we have nothing else to do. Whoa. I can't think of anything better to do on the Lord's Day than to be with the Lord, worshiping Him, learning of Him, serving Him. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Like I said, boys and girls, we can't do this alone. Can't live the Christian life alone. Bless and don't curse those that persecute you. That's not natural. That's supernatural. And so we need the power of God. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Well, that's the way the world does it. Evil. Look at it. Look at it. Recompense no man evil for evil. See, in holiness, we learned this morning, depart from evil. We shouldn't have it in our arsenal. Oh, I know how to get back at them. They fired a bullet at me. I just happen to have a higher caliber. No. Don't return evil for evil. That's the world's way. We're to have nothing to do with evil. Instead, we're to bless. When somebody does something evil. By the way, how do you know if something's evil? How do you know if something's evil? Evil is a perversion of God's intended use. Evil is a perversion of God's intended use. Every good thing has its flip side. Satan has his counterfeit for everything. If you take evil, it's an English word, obviously, and you spell it the other way, it's the word live. There's a choice. We're either going to do the right thing and live, or else we're going to do the evil thing and die. Satan has a counterfeit to everything that is good. God has love. Satan has a very close counterfeit called lust. And people fall for the counterfeit all the time. It's a perversion. It's a perversion of God's intended use. And when you look at Romans, when it talks about the perversion of homosexuality, that's a twisting of God's intended use. And that's evil. And you can go right across the board and see how good things are twisted to some unintended use from God. And that's evil. And it causes harm. The way God makes it is wonderful and beautiful. But when Satan gets finished with it, it's sordid, it's dirty, it's ugly when he's finished. Don't return evil for evil, verse 17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, and if be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There's that Psalm 34 again. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Old Testament, once again, it crawled back into the New Testament. And God wants us to live holy lives and to live at peace with people. And everywhere we look, people have war in their heart. David said, I was speaking peace. They were speaking peace, but war was in their heart. Whoa. That's not holy. That's not right. And the world has enough hatred. And sometimes we see that in the church, where Satan, if he cannot catch somebody, he'll get them conformed. And if he cannot get them conformed, he will get them corrupted. If he can't get them corrupted, he'll get them contaminated. And instead of loving one another, the saints hate one another. Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
And then they have church divisions and church splits. Why? Not because of love. Not because of love. It's because of something else. Oh, may God fill our hearts with love. Follow after peace as much as is possible. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There again, there's the principle of holiness. Don't be overcome by evil. Well, are we supposed to hide from evil? Join a convent? Join a monastery? Live in a cave somewhere? And that's what they did in the Middle Ages. They thought, well, I'm going to separate myself from the world. And Simon the Stylite lived on top of a pillar. It was 35 feet off the ground, and he lived up there, and he ate bugs, and he lowered his body waste in a bucket, and people came by and said, wow, what a holy man. They came everywhere to see the holy man, Simon the Stylite. That's not holiness. Why? Because the Bible's clear. Depart from evil and do good. And you can't do any good when you sit on top of a pole for 30 years, 38 feet off the ground, or living in a cave. We have to go into the world. And we don't dare do it unless we're separated in our hearts. Why? Because we'll get contaminated. What if some guy all of a sudden starts going to my wife? She hates when I use her as an illustration. And starts giving her roses. Starts giving her lots of attention. But, you know, every other day, flowers arrive. What about that? Would that be all right? Well, whether it be all right or not, I think somebody's been wasting their money. Because her heart is fixed. Now, there could come a day when the flowers look interesting, like the fly fisherman. And it's because something in her heart is not right. So when the world comes to us with its flowers, if our heart is right with God, you say, no, I'm not interested. I'm in love with God. Yeah, but now this is 2 dozen American long stem beauty roses. I'm not interested. Well, what flowers do you like? I'm not interested. See, you're wasting your time. And if your heart is right with your partner, with your spouse, then you're safe. You're insulated. You can walk through this world and all the temptations. They're not going to damage your marriage. They're not going to damage your relationship. But if you turn your heart from one another, then you become vulnerable. And somebody is going to take advantage of that vulnerability. And I need to maintain my relationship with God, just like I need to maintain my relationship with my partner. Now it happens, the guy's too busy, he doesn't listen anymore, and she doesn't listen anymore, they don't listen to each other anymore, they've heard each other's stories, and again, we were away for a few days, and we were so interested to see the different people and how they react. And some of the older couples that sit at a table, they don't say a word. Just sit there. The world is filled with wonderful things to talk about, and the Word of God is just filled and overflowing with wonderful things that we find every day. There's all kinds of stuff to talk about. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind? But we see some of these couples that kind of sit there. Oh, that's dangerous. Dangerous. Maybe one has given up, but maybe one has not given up, and somebody comes along, and all of a sudden they listen. They listen. They have time to listen. And then that relationship's in danger. That's the way the devil will do it. That's the way the devil will do it. If for some reason we don't meet with God in the holy appointed meeting place, Satan's going to be around somewhere. He'll find you. Remember when Adam didn't show up in the garden? We don't know if he just missed one appointment, or God let him miss two, or I don't know. But in the cool of the day, God came and did as he had always done, and Adam didn't show up, and he had to call, "Adam, where are you?" And sometimes we as believers, bought with a price, all of a sudden we say, "Well, I'm going to skip a day of prayer. I'm going to skip a day of reading God's Word." You want to know something? Satan, the angler, he spots it right away. And not only did you not open your Bible, he'll throw his fly. Now, he knows what to put on that hook. He knows what rings your bell. He knows what you're interested in. And we need, you have won a 2-week vacation in Sodom and Gomorrah. No, thank you. I'm not interested. But it's free. I don't care if it's free. I'm not going to take a 2-week vacation in Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because my relationship with God is at stake, and I need to be very, very careful. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wow. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We're on a mission to find and discover our place. And within the body, everyone has their place. Everyone has their calling. Everyone has their gift. And it is our job to find out what that is, and to discover it, and to watch God use it. It's amazing that the forests are filled with all kinds of cures to diseases that we haven't even discovered yet. There's a plant, there's a root, there's a berry, there's a leaf. And scientists are trying to calculate and catalog them all because of the good things that they do. God has filled this world with all kinds of wonderful things to be used for His glory and our good. There is in your life and in my life something that's there we haven't discovered yet. Some talent, some interest, some gift, some skill, some berry, some leaf, some flower, some root that God wants to use for good in somebody's life. And we should be searching for it and saying, "Lord, every berry, every root, every leaf of my life, it's at your disposal. There's somebody that's sick, and they need the medicine of spiritual ministry. Use me individually. Use us collectively as a body so that you receive all the glory. I beseech you therefore, brethren," said Paul, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." Father, thank you for the book of Romans. Thank you for the challenge that Paul gave to that first century church and you give to us. Thank you for every believer that's come out again on Sunday night. Help us, Lord, to discover your perfect will for our life. Let us set our hand to do the thing that will bring you glory. Bless us, bless our assembly, use us